Welcome back to the Sunday Session, the podcast where we take you back through the round, all the big talking points and the Daily M votes. Chris Kennedy in the studio with Craig Wing and NRL.com's voice of the people, Kenny Scott. Gentlemen, thanks for being here once again.
Good to be here.
Yeah, great to be here. Before we get started, Chris, let me just officially hand control back over to you.
I thought you did a great job.
Yeah, you were outstanding last week.
Please stop.
Anyway, happy to be back. Apologies for the week off. I was shipped up to Brisbane to run amok in Magic Round. It was a big couple of days, but yeah, very rewarding as well. But happy to be back in the studio with you guys. Let's tear straight back through it. Reverse chronological order as always. So we'll start with the most recent game, the Sharks and the Seagulls. Bit of an upset out in the Shire, but yeah, credit to Manly. They're missing plenty of players. They had a debutant 5'8" with their backup half also out injured along with Cherry Evans, but they just found a way.
Yeah, that was a good one for Manly. I thought Dizzy Hasler did really well in getting his team up for it. That was just simply enthusiasm, effort, discipline in what they were doing, and they just played a really simple game plan. I think their defence against the Sharks was very, very effective. They were rushing up. With a rush up and in defence, it's really easy to make decisions. And you feel really confident in your defensive line. The Manly forwards, I thought they really dominated the Sharks and had them coming out of their end for the majority of the game. So it was a good one for them.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the defence rushed the Sharks, and because the Sharks, they dropped heaps of balls, didn't they? Like they dropped a couple of sitters, I think. They seemed kind of almost panicky.
Yeah, and they kept trying to go wide with their block for block play. Probably the smarter move early on would be to put it behind them, have them stop and turn around. But I think it really came from the Manly forwards dominating the middle, which allowed the outside backs to rush up and in. But if they weren't dominating the middle, that rush defence is almost impossible to play.
Yeah, I think the Sharks probably also seem to be missing a lot of their support players. Like, so they got obviously Moylan's gone and Johnson's gone, but they seem like, because you still got Fifita and Gallant of those guys who sort of pop it out the back, but it seems like they're sort of lacking the right kind of players to run onto that.
Yeah, that's right. There were a couple of times where they did get a few offloads and they started to make a few yards, but it was just not enough, and a number of errors and things like that. But certainly I think the Sea Eagles, with their personnel at the moment, they're certainly overachieving, and it was good to see Cade Cust make his first grade debut, and I thought he went really well.
Yeah, he looked confident.
I really liked the look of him.
Yeah, he didn't look out of place at all. I'm pretty sure he won a grand final with the under-20s a year or two ago. He's been pressing for an opportunity, but look at their halves. You know, obviously, Cherry Evans is out. Lockie Croker's out. They've had Curtis Sirenin floating through there, so their stocks are thin, but the guys that are coming in are still getting the job done. We'll head into some Daly M votes for that one. The three went to Brendan Elliott, and I'm just about prepared to call that the best game of his career, including his time at the Roosters and the Titans. He was fantastic.
Yeah, I'll have to back you up on that one. I think earlier in the year there's been times where you scratch your head with him, but today he was rock solid. He was outstanding.
Absolutely. The two votes went to Adam Fanua Blake, who you're talking about their big men getting the job done, and he was a huge part of that, especially early on.
Very powerful.
Almost scored a couple of tries before he scored his first try, which is only in about the 8th minute, and Marty Tapau also very good. He got the one vote. Earlier Sunday game, Newcastle put on a clinic out at picturesque Glenwillow Oval out in Mudgee. Dragons just off their game and had no answers to the Pierce-Ponga combination.
Yeah, the thing that really stood out for me in that game with the Knights was just how direct and up tempo they were playing. They were playing very, very direct. They were playing very fast, very hard, getting really good play the ball speed, and it was almost like the Dragons were just trying to hold on, which they didn't do. A lot of that had to do with Mitchell Pearce. Mitchell Pearce was playing very direct, going deep into the line, putting players through holes, and then you've got Kalyn Ponga off the back of it, who, when Piercy takes it into the line and throws that deep ball, he's just got so much space, and you give him half a yard, he'll definitely take it. So two outstanding performances by them, certainly, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say the Knights really, really surprised me with this one. I wasn't being too public about it, but I thought the Dragons would get them purely because I wasn't sold on the Knights at all. From the last, everyone was going, oh, they're going to go three on the trot, and they beat the Bulldogs, didn't they? And then the Warriors in relatively unconvincing fashion for me. So I thought the Dragons were going to get them, sneak up and ambush them. But man, they blitzed them off the park. Like my notes say, Kalen Ponga. Like, literally, yeah. That's all they say. I can't believe it. I don't know. And Pierce, good control. The two things I've written down. Else can you say about that game? That was, that, I don't know where that came from. Again, shows what I know. I love Newcastle doing well, and I think that was really good. It was about time they had a display where they were just, like, they were on the whole time. It never stopped.
Mm. Yeah, it was a really solid performance for them right through the 80 minutes. I like the way they moved the ball. So they were playing direct, and they were playing to the edges, and they were playing through the middle. They were playing up tempo, and I think the bigger Dragons forwards really struggled to move laterally. Kalen Ponga found them out a couple of times. They went through the middle. They were just it was a really complete game and very timely for the Knights, because I think that's four in a row for them now. But they've got a really tough run coming up.
Yeah, they needed to bank a few wins. You go back four games, they beat the Eels pretty handily to start that run. If they'd lost that game, they were pretty much sitting in last or equal last. And now they're, I think, sixth or seventh. They're in the
top
eight.
Yeah, they've just jumped completely.
Yeah, so it's a huge surge from them. Just before we move on, the Kurt Mann into the starting side and Connor Watson benched. I know we rate Connor Watson as a player, but he's a pretty good bench utility if that's the way they're going to go moving forward.
And I think the unfortunate thing for him is that I think Kurt Mann paired up with Piercy very, very well. Mm. Took the line on, ran pretty well, put a few good kicks in, and didn't overplay his hand, and was pretty steady. So if you're going to pick the best number six for the Knights, for my mind, I think Kurt Mann's the guy.
100%. Well, looking at the Dally M votes for that one, and can't really argue with Mitchell Pearce getting the three votes. He just absolutely controlled proceedings. Kalen Ponga will probably get three votes playing like that more often than not, but two votes for him, a couple of dazzling solo tries and a good all-round game. And Danny Levi, who's had a pretty good month, his form sort of mirrored the Knights, as has Mitchell Pearce's over the course of the season, starting off pretty sluggishly and then coming good over the past month. So that takes us back to Super Saturday, and this was a pulsating one to finish the night off. The Raiders and the Rabbitohs, very defence-oriented game, nothing but penalty goals on the scoreboard in the first half. Souths got them in the end, but Raiders very nearly for the second week running managed to snatch it.
Yeah, that was a super physical game, that one. There's going to be some sore bodies after that. Look, it was one of those games where both teams probably deserved to win. When the Raiders were in front, I thought they were just holding on at a fair way through it, and I thought it was just a matter of time before the Bunnies came to get them. But then when the Bunnies came back at the end, the Raiders really came after them, and I think for the second week in a row, they probably should have won the game in the last 30 seconds with just a blatant drop ball. Like, the Raiders probably should have won that. But full credit to both teams. I think it was one of those games, and I know Ricky Stewart, he's going to have them feeling like winners. Even though they didn't come away with the 2 points, he really, really appreciates and gets off on effort and putting your body on the line and energy and never giving up, and that all those things the Raiders displayed. And it's certainly a step forward from them, because last week they finished the game well, but they started poorly. This week they started very, very well and finished well, but the Bunnies...
Just nowhere accounted.
Yeah, the Bunnies have just... Well, the difference was the game breakers. Rabbitohs have got those game breakers that can just make something out of nothing, and then that's what they did. Cody Walker.
Cody Walker Cook. Again. Like, what's happened to him? Like, we've spoken about it a fair bit this year, but... Like, when there's a game that needs to be, like, taken by the scruff of the neck, or a game that needs to be broken open, like, Cody Walker's the guy that's doing it. That's what he did this game as well. Like, the moment where it sort of, he broke it open with that try.
Completely blows my mind how he can just – he's not the biggest guy. He's not the most physical guy. He doesn't run over guys. Certainly breaks a lot of tackles with his deception. But he just has this incredible knack for being at the right place at the right time and delivering and executing perfectly when the time counts. So.
We talked about him scoring that try, and he supported well to be in the right spot to score that try. But I thought his try assist out on that right wing was even better, the way he held the ball up and held it up just and threw it just at the right time to get that try at the end was just absolute, just perfect instincts.
Yeah, I thought this game was just, like, it was low scoring, right? Like, what, 16-12? But it was so much fun. Like, it was non-stop. There was always something happening. And I don't want to jump the gun, but, like, comparing it to the game prior, like, Cowboys-Eels, like, had a similar scoreline. didn't. It had nowhere near as much, I don't know, action or fun intensity, or whatever, or intensity. Yeah. This game, it had it all. Like, it had everything. Like the big battles of the forwards, Josh Papali, like the no try into the post, like stuff like that. I think there was a penalty goal, a missed penalty goal off the post on this one as well. It went back to the attacking team. All that kind of stuff. Plus,
What about Sam Burgess and the redhead? What's his name?
Corey Hall.
Yeah, that was great.
That's it. Yeah. I was loving
Hudson
that.
Young as well. Like, yeah, both that was awesome.
Did he have a one-on-one strip as well, the redhead fella?
I think he did,
There we go. Yeah. So this game had it all.
It was a great game. I completely agree. It was a cracking game. Probably my favourite game of the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, the young Firebrands taking it to Sam Burgess, you know, reputation sort of be damned, was very, very exciting. Worth mentioning, both teams are doing this with some big names missing. Canberra's, a lot of their attack goes through that star-studded right edge of Bateman, Leilua, Jordan Rupiner, and all three of those guys are out, and they still, you know, ran the Rabbitohs really close, and they're missing, obviously, GI retired, you know, Braden Burns still out, Cole Turner, who's been filling in at centre as a forward, broke his toe at training and had to move Ethan Lowe there, so you're sort of getting further into your forward stocks, playing out wide, but...
That Bateman injury just really hit this podcast hard because we've really struggled for content since
then. ripping game. The Dally M boats, courtesy of the great Alan Tung. Three went to Cameron Murray, who I don't think we talked about in that little session, but he was extremely good once again. He's been very, very consistent this year. Two went to Josh Papali, who was just momentous up front. And the one went to Damien Cook, who just doesn't have a bad game at the moment either. Maybe a little bit strange that Cody Walker didn't fight his way into the votes there, but you can't give one to everyone. Let's move on to the Cowboys and the Eels, which you touched on just before. The Cowboys obviously got there in the end. They probably should have been up by more, you'd say, during the second half, but you know, found a way towards the end.
Yeah, this was a really weird game. I'm not quite sure how I feel about it because... Like, it's 17-10, and that says, oh, this was a close game. And I guess, like, it was always close, but I don't want to, like, it wasn't particularly gripping, I didn't think. Like, it's good to see the Cowboys do well. I thought, like, Morgan had a mixed game again. There was, that heartbreaking intercept by Josh Hoffman just before halftime, which sort of put Parramatta back on the front foot. But
they could have been down three or four tries at that point.
I don't really know what else to make of it. I mean, I love a sort of, I wouldn't say a random field goal, but like a field goal to give it an odd score. And that's really about the only thing I can say about this game. I think it wasn't bad.
The encouraging thing for me was there was parts of the game where the Cowboys forward pack really got a roll on, particularly with Matt Scott leading the way. But the guys that they've got in their forward pack, that's how they should be playing every week. And we saw glimpses of that. Mm. So definitely they can build upon that. But... there's still a way to go for them, but
they look a much better team with Tamalolo. They really struggled when he was out, even with, like you say, you know, Jordan McLean and Josh Maguire and some you know, test quality forwards in there. It's Tamalolo is just so important.
So that was Parramatta's second or third loss in a row.
Second in a row, and it's only it's the first time this year they've lost back to back. So they've sort of been going win loss.
I'm working on a Bankwest theory. So we've been all on about how great Bankwest is at the stadium, and the Parramatta's two games there have been fantastic. They've had good wins, but they haven't won since Bankwest has been open. I don't think
they haven't won away from Bankwest.
Yeah,
since
open.
So they won at Penrith to start the year. I think they have.
Since Bankwest has been open,
they
haven't won any games away from Bankwest.
But they've also been outside Sydney, so they've been up to Newcastle and then Suncorp and then.
So maybe
Townsville.
Bankwest is so good now. It's so comfortable. It's like, imagine you're sleeping in the world's most comfortable bed, and you get so used to it that any other bed is just is not good for your now sensitive sleep needs.
Mm.
That's I'm working on it. We'll see how they go.
We'll build the analogy.
The blank stares say it all.
Let's roll with that one. Also, congratulations to Michael Morgan and Kyle Felt for their 150th and 100th respectively.
Yeah, good call. In terms of the Dally M boats for this one, they came by Corey Parker. Three went to Jason Tamalolo, no-brainer there. Two went to Matt Scott and one went to Jordan McLean. So all the middles that got the job done for them picked up the votes, which I think is fair enough. So the first game on Saturday was the Titans against the Bulldogs up there at Cbus Super Stadium. Titans, not for the first time this year, raced out to a big lead and then just, I don't know, forgot to play. They just got completely run down, and it's got to be a huge question mark for them.
Yeah, I guess that's your game managers. That's their area that they really need to take control of, especially once you get a 16-0 lead, and to completely blow it, that's that's on the halves. That's on the halves, the hookers, fullback. Very disappointing for them. I can see why Garth Brennan's pulling his hair out there.
So, and that's the most disappointing thing about that is this was Tyrone Roberts and Ash Taylor's first game back together since round one, and that's supposed to be like their gun halves pairing, and they were both really ordinary. Ash Taylor as well. Like I don't want to pick on him, but he's got to start doing something, doesn't he?
Down by a try with a few seconds to go, and you get tackled on the last as a halfback.
Yeah, he just stood there like he didn't know what he was. Yeah. It's
really do anything.
But even when you're up, there's moments when you've just really got to play controlled and play disciplined, get through the sets and build pressure. And that's one of the things for me that I don't see them doing. I don't see them looking to get into the opposition's half just to put them there and to put them under pressure. For me, I think when they get down to the opposition's half, they're always trying to score. And it's either score or nothing, and it seems to be the way that they're playing.
I thought Ockhambor had his breakout game. Yeah. Officially that was his breakout game, I reckon. He was pretty good all round.
He was great there. Under the high ball. Yep. He didn't sort of make those huge rushing in errors in defence, and he had some good strong carries. That try he scored was really determined.
Hasn't changed his jersey size though, even after we spoke about it. So.
He's big enough, he can do what he wants. But that game, I think it was his second NRL game against the Storm, and he was trampling over Cameron Smith, and we're all waxing lyrical about what a great player this kid's going to be now that he's broken into first grade, and he's had some real struggles since then. Particularly without the ball, but even sort of a lack of intent with the ball, and that just all turned around in this game. He looked much, 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 much more confident.
Yeah, well, it's always hard to get your attack in order if your defence isn't spot on or you've gotten caught out a few times. But this time around, he was pretty solid in defence, so the rest sort of takes care of itself.
So Ockhambor played well, the Bulldogs played quite well. We'll say the Titans probably let themselves and their fans down, but for the uninvested fan, the Titans gave the greatest gift of all, and that was the last 8 minutes of that game. It was, again, so much fun to watch, right? Because there's just crazy stuff happening, like the Jared Wallace charge down slash knock on. All those passages of play were just...
That was very sad, that one.
Credit to Wallace for playing to the whistle, though. Like, he's going to make them call him back. He's like, I'm off here, I'm off and running.
Deserved to try that, I felt.
Bulldogs halves were good again. Kieran Foran and Cogger, I think. That's probably unfortunately for Lachie Lewis, that's probably the way forward for them at the moment with those two. And that's certainly the way that the Dally M boats went as well. Justin Hodges, the judge for this game. Foran got the three, Jack Cogger got the two. One vote went to Jared Wallace, who was extremely good, particularly while the Titans were doing well. Probably a few guys who could have got that one, but Wallace picked it up. That takes us back through to Friday night, and as fantastic as Raiders and Rabbitohs was, this was my favourite game of the weekend and almost of the year. Brisbane 15, Roosters 10, thrilling, high intensity, lots of energy. This is the Broncos I think a lot of us were expecting earlier in the year, finally emerged.
Yeah, that was a cracking game. It was played at breakneck speed, semi-final speed, but not necessarily semi-final accuracy or execution. Mm-hmm. It was both teams brought a lot of effort and intensity to the table. I just think that the Broncos won it because they had just that little bit more. They were desperate in everything that they did right across the park. The forwards, particularly Payne Haas and co, really did a good job getting them forward. And, I could see after they won that game the elation that the whole team had. So they're going to take a lot out of that one.
Yeah, I agree. I think the game was won, and this is, it's strange that I say this, it was won for me when the Roosters scored when Cooper Cronk was off the field, because I think that showed the Broncos, it's going to be really, really hard no matter what. So, and the Roosters are the best team in the competition, or arguably. Yeah. So you're going to have to not lift it up in intensity if you want to get away with this. And I thought from that point on, they all had this look in their eyes. Like they were determined to win that game, and they were going to do it.
Yeah, and I think Seguiaro is going to be a handy player for them moving forward, because they've got such a big forward pack, but up until now they haven't really taken advantage of the momentum that they've gained. Whereas if you've got a tricky little player like Seguiaro that's going to get out and get on the front foot, which just puts the next runner on the front foot, there's going to be a lot of joy that happens in and around the ruck, I think. Mm.
With respect to Andrew McCulloch, who's a tireless defender and a real long-serving veteran of that Broncos lineup, having this young gun Jake Turpin darting around for 50 minutes, and then someone like Seguiaro bringing his energy for the last half an hour, and he obviously scored the match-winning try, as it turns out. They just look a lot more dynamic with that pair at the scrum base.
Yeah, it just really makes... makes that forward pack so much more effective, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You did touch on Payne Haas before, and we're not going to go through every game talking about, you know, who's in and who's out of the Origin team, but the hype is building around this young monster from Brisbane, or originally from Newcastle, about whether he's going to get picked for Brad Fittler. We've got probably Clemmer and Vaughan as the starting props. Is there an irresistible case for Payne Haas to get half an hour off the bench, do you think, in Origin 1?
Yeah, I think so. You always need a young bloke there.
Yeah, Freddie's into the youth, the youth play, so... and bringing in new blood to the Blues culture.
Give him a crack, I say. Yes. And he's, the other thing is, not only is he a big body that can muscle his way through the middle, but he's also very dynamic. He's got a good step. He's got mobile. Good speed. He's mobile. And he's got really good energy. We talked about it really early in the year, and I saw it again the other night. He finishes the game running just as fast as he does at the start.
Having played 60 to 70 minutes at prop. Just phenomenal.
Stick him in there.
Give him a go. I think, to be serious, I think if you're a Queensland, selector or a Queensland player, and you're hoping that there's certain players the Blues won't pick, I think he's someone you'd be worried about. Compared to all the other options like, Jordan McLean and James Tarmo and Regan Campbell-Gillard and Dale Finucane, who are great players but more steady than they are explosive and dynamic, I think he's someone they would be a bit concerned about. Dally Embotes in this one via the great Andrew Johns. Payne Haas, 3 votes, no doubt about that one. 2 went to Joe Offa-Hengawi, who was good as well in the middle, and 1 to Jared Rea-Hargreaves, who was extremely physical for the Roosters. The early Saturday game, and Penrith's problems just seem to get worse by the week. Warriors too good for them out at the foot of the mountains.
What do you do? Like, what do the Panthers do from here? So I honestly thought after they were humiliated last week by the Tigers in the first 20 minutes, you thought, okay, yeah, bounce back factor. Like, at the very least, they might not win, but at the very least, they're going to be desperate to the last minute for the next game. And it's like the same thing again. Like, they did turn up. They were dropping balls all over the place. Like, I mean, the now infamous and all over Twitter and everything. GWZ Dylan Edwards clash at the back. I guess that sort of just typifies everything that's going wrong with the Panthers at the moment. But like, if your attitude is poor or your confidence is down, that doesn't make you a poor ball handler, right? Like, because the drop balls for me was what really stood out. Every time they got close, they dropped it. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, for me, I think it just, they're a team playing under immense stress, and it's just really affecting their just everything, their decision making, their coordination. I mean, they're quite poor right across the park. Their attack's not too good. Their defense is even worse. Their execution is poor, and their discipline's really bad. So, I think the
sounds awful when you put in a list like that. The
symbolised all of that was the Ignatius Parsi try.
Yeah.
He just dragged them over the line like that.
It was that 4 people on him, wasn't it?
When you just Kikau was jogging backwards next to it, watching it all happen instead of putting his shoulder in.
Yeah, I think they've got their heads on other things, like worrying about other people's positions and worrying about all the bigger stuff that's going on, instead of just focusing on their games and just doing the little things right, worrying about their own game and letting everyone else worry about their game, and the rest should take care of itself. The disappointing thing for me was they lost it through the middle last week against the Tigers. Robbie Farah was having a field day, and then the first thing that happened was Isaac Luke went straight through the middle as well. So obviously didn't learn their lessons from last week, but enough about them. Let's talk about the Warriors.
Yeah.
Had a good game.
Credit where it's due, for sure.
I was happy to see Nick Arima having a bit of joy and enjoying himself out on the field. He's had a bit of a...
2 weeks in a row, he's been great.
Tough run up until he joined the Warriors. So that's a good one. And Blake Green really steered the ship, similar to the way Mitchell Pearce did for the Knights. So he's certainly the foundation for them, and RTS is as good as always. But their forward pack really stood up too, so... Yeah, let's talk about the Warriors.
Yeah. So does that mean, like, the Warriors, like, they let go of Sean Johnson, and we always knew since then they've been missing, like, a halfback, and now they've got one, and they're 2 from 2, and that last game, like, they were really, really good. Does that mean the Warriors are now good? Like, are they now a team you expect to do much better than they have been?
I want to see it a few more times and against better teams, but yeah.
Yeah, and I think I think they'll get better as they get more used to Nikorima and he starts to spread his wings a little bit and starts to put a bit more of an impression on the game. I think he's still, it's only even his second week there and he's still finding his way. He's playing really, really well, but they'll eventually develop some plays and some combinations off the back of him. I think he his speed and his ability to break the line combined with Roger in that little area back on the inside or in around the middle of the ruck, I think that's going to be really lethal this year and something that they really need to harness.
What about his step at the end of the game? That was like that was two of us a Sheck-esque.
It was.
Right?
That was
even did the head chink and everything. Yeah. It was really good.
It was
running around with plenty of confidence.
Yeah. It was very good.
I think it's important to note too. I think fans can get a little bit disenchanted with sort of mid-season moves. You know, bloke's wearing one jersey, the next week he's wearing another jersey, and everyone's you know what a contract's worth. But this is probably the example that proves when it's a good idea because it's just been a good move for everyone. He wasn't working at the Broncos. He wasn't working with Milford.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't say they've replaced him with a better player in Tom Dearden, but he's working better with Milford and for Nikorima he's working better at the Warriors than he was at Brisbane, and I think everyone's come out of it a winner, which is good to see. Dele Mbote's in this one, Ignatius Parsi the three, in part for carrying half the Penrith team over the line for that try, but he was strong outside of that. Two went to Nikorima, no surprises there, and one went to Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, who was fantastic as well.
And a special mention to Patrick Herbert. I thought he was really good in the centres.
He was fantastic, really good.
A lot of tackle breaks. He was a good player for my mind.
Kicked a bunch of goals as well, so they're not missing too much from Sean Johnson having gone, and then the other halfbacks they've dropped who are kicking goals. They've got a good one there in Patrick Herbert, the ex-Dragon. Takes us back to the first game of the round, Thursday night. Kenny, as a Tigers fan, losing to Melbourne by 2 points, probably the better team, arguably deserved to win, but...
Look, losing to Melbourne by 2 points is probably the second best result you could hope for when you come up against Melbourne. So, especially as a Tigers fan, it was hard to take. I really would have liked them to have won, don't get me wrong. But the way they played, I was really, really impressed. They were solid. Their defence was really good. They were really, hard in their attack as well. I think most of the tries came from just pushing, barging over, basically, pushing through that really strong Melbourne front row. So it was good signs. You know, that was a game of what-ifs. If Mahifanua hadn't rushed out of the line at the very end, I think the game would have been very different. Again, if Luke Brooks had been more aware and not tried to run a block and instead actually tried to defend Kafusi, that try wouldn't have happened. But that's the game, right? It was a good showing from them. I just hope they learn from it and next time they're in that position, win the game.
I think the thing for me in that game was just how hard the Tigers competed. They competed at everything. They were desperate for everything. You could see how much they wanted to win, and probably haven't seen that from the Tigers for the last couple of years. But this year, it seems like something that Maguire's really started to ingrain in them. I thought the spine was very good for the Tigers. Yeah. And for me, I really thought that that was a game that they probably deserved to win and they should feel a little hard done by.
Well, that's their second, the second game they should have won that they've lost this year.
Yeah.
They also
didn't play conservative, nor did they just try to complete their sets. They threw a lot at the Storm, which really, really troubled them. So, I enjoy that game, and I thought that the Tigers played really well. Also, got to mention Pappenhausen for the Storm. Best game I've seen a third-string fullback play. he's a good player. He's certainly got some speed on him,
too. Do we know how long, what kind of contract does he have at Melbourne? Because if he's got two guys in front of him and now the rest of the league knows at the very least, it's only one game, but they know that he's there and he's got talent. He's going to be targeted, surely,
Tigers had him and they let him walk.
Don't worry about that.
That's on the back of Billy Slater going. They still had Drinkwater, Hughes and Pappenhuyzen all there and they're all fantastic players, so it's definitely going to be a headache for down the track, but at the moment only one of them's fit and he's doing pretty well. Hughes presumably recovered from his head knock for round 11. Do you slot him straight back in at fullback and drop Pappenhuyzen into the bench?
He's been playing too good this year.
Yeah,
he's been playing too good. He's just, he knows his role inside out. He's been under a heap of pressure this year and always delivered. I'd put him straight back in.
Yeah, cool. One other talking point out of this one, Storm prop Christian Welch looked almost guaranteed to be making his Origin debut in a couple of weeks. Was taken off with a suspected ACL tear. Everyone was distraught in the sheds. Update the next morning, thankfully, it was a misdiagnosed ACL tear, only a meniscus tear. So he's 4 to 6 weeks out rather than 7 or 8 months. So that's, you know, the best possible result from him from where he was. So we're all very happy to see him back on the field sooner rather than later, although unfortunately won't be there for Origin 1.
Yeah, very disappointing.
Dele M votes in this one via Jimmy Smith. 3 to Ryan Papenhuyzen. Where else could they go? 2 went to Benji Marshall and 1 went to Dale Finucane, who just keeps putting in very, very consistent performances in the middle for the Storm. Brings us to the end of the 8 games. Any final talking points before we sign this one off?
We had, 3 field goals in this round?
Something like that.
Is that... That's not normal, right? That's a high number of field goals without going a golden point.
I think we had 3 golden points in one round earlier in the year, but yeah, for a non-golden point weekend, yeah. 3 is probably a fair bit. I'm not sure they were all quite necessary. Mitch Pearce was a little bit field goal practice at the end of that Knights Dragons game.
Mm. It was a boomer, though.
It was a boomer. He drilled it. But yeah, the Broncos and the Cowboys ones were certainly crucial at the times they were slotted.
Oh, it was the 65th minute when Milford kicked that one, right?
I like
it. Didn't know what else to do. He panicked and kicked a field goal and got a good result out of it. But
I think the thing in that game, though, was the Broncos just won that by running hard. Mm. I mean, so many times they did 4 hit-ups going at the Roosters' try line.
Mm.
They didn't really have any plays. There was a couple of times that he kicked on the third tackle, which says to me that they really had no answers to try and get through the Roosters' defence. It was just really enthusiasm and effort that got them there.
Mm-hmm. Scores tied late in the game, though. It's got to be easier to kick a field goal with 15 to go than it is with 1 to go and everyone rushing up in your face. So take the point while it's there. All right, brings us to the end of another Sunday session. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here. Obviously, stay tuned to NRL.com through the week. We've got Craig Wing's column up on Tuesday, Steve Renoff podcast Wednesday, Jamie Soward podcast Friday, plus all our usual shows inside the NRL Monday, Tuesday teams with Zach Bailey, Jeff Tuvey and Brett Camorley on Tuesday, and all year, obviously, late mail and breaking news. We will see you back here next Sunday. Thanks a lot.
See ya.